that I speak to you are spirit and life. If you and I are going to worship in the spirit and in truth, it's not some euphoric experience, but rather it is acting out and on His word. So as we sang that, I pray that you take that confession that we spoke earlier to heart and say, God, I worship you in the fact that my body is whole, because by your stripes you said I'm healed. Say, God, I worship you, because even as David declared, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So I worship you. See, the world doesn't understand that kind of praise. Unfortunately, most of the church. But I'm going to be a worshiper in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it with me, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I'm a believer and not a doubter. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank God for His word this morning, church. Hallelujah for His word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Amen. You know, you and I have got to make a decision today. We're either going to go with this Bible or we're not. Huh? Got to make a choice. I'm going to go with the word of God. Startling statistic. 56% of all evangelicals in America believe there's more than one way to heaven. No, you didn't hear me. 56%, over half of all of those that profess Christianity, believe you can get to heaven in another way besides Jesus. I don't know if you've ever known what it's like to be a minority. Some of you know what I'm talking about, because racially, you have been a minority all your life, and you know what that's like. But some of you who have never known that are about to be introduced to what it's like. Because the minority is, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's the minority. And I just want to warn you, if you ascribe to that, you will be persecuted. Somebody shout now. Hallelujah. Well, don't get me started on all of that, but hey guys, men's breakfast coming up. Some of you, I'll buy your ticket if you'll come. You can't afford it, I'll pay for it myself personally. Not the church through me, but myself personally. Love to have you come June 12th. Be a great time at DeLuca's place in the park. Bring a man with you who needs Christ. Amen. And then we talked about carpeting in here. Maybe we need to take a look at it here a little closer. Right now, we've got $997 given toward the carpet fund. That's not a whole lot. It's $25 a square yard. We need over 2,000 square yards. If you feel so led of the Lord today, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, and He will direct your path. Ephesians chapter 2. Come on, get in the Word this morning. Amen. Somebody say, I'm ready to receive a word. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Paul saying, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he's loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by the grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." My goodness, I'm telling you, it's all about where you sit. Last week I gave you the story of how Dr. Summerall invited me to sit with him and how that literally changed my life. You understand, Jesus has invited you to sit with him in heavenly places. You have to remember something, church. Please listen to this. Remember, when you feel you're at your very lowest, you're still on top of the devil. You got to know that. It doesn't matter how low you feel, how bad things are going, you're still on top of the devil. You and I are no longer problem-oriented people. We are possibility-oriented people. Why? Because we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, there's something magnetic. There's something attractive and powerful about a victorious Christian. There's something not quite so magnetic and attractive about a defeated Christian. You see, even on a bad day, you're doing much better than the devil. You and I've got to remember something. I've read the end of the book, have you? We win! Hallelujah! And if God be for you, what? Who can be against you? Come on. We are possibility people. All things are possible to those who believe. Put your hand up in the air and say, "I am a believer and not a doubter." You see, the rest of my life is about to be the best of my life. Come on, say it with me. The rest of my life is about to be the best of my life. Come on, look at somebody and say, "The rest of your life is about to be the best of your life." Because God's got something good planned for your future. I believe there's champions sitting all around this building this morning. There's an emergence of champion style and victorious living. There's an emergence of people that are winning the crown every day. I'm so thankful that in Lorain County, there's things that are changing in the spirit. You can feel it. You can sense it all around northeastern Ohio. You know why? Because there's champions that are discovering the fact that greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. Greatness can only be measured when something will challenge you for superiority. So really the trial you're facing or the trouble that you're in is proof that you haven't been defeated yet. If you're still struggling and you're here this morning, you ought to give God a shout, because it's not over until it's over. It's all right. Just because I'm struggling doesn't mean a thing. I'm just strengthening my wings and I'm about to soar like an eagle. I may not look like much to you this morning. Oh, you know, I'm trying to get out of that little sack, break that little eggshell out of the way. But you just hold on for a little bit, because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places and I only have one future. I only have one hope. I only have one destiny, and that's what God has said about my life. You and I have got to be convinced of that. See, this is a season when God wants us to discover our greatness. And most of the time, you will never discover your greatness without first a struggle. Greatness is often aroused through adversity. You have to understand that greatness must discover itself. Let me remind you about David. David was insignificant. When Samuel came to anoint the new king to replace Saul, he asked for the sons to be brought forth. Jesse brought all these sons forth. And he said, "No, that's not him. That's not him." Went through a number of them and said, "Do you have anybody else?" He said, "Well, we have one more, but he's kind of insignificant. He's out there in the hills watching my sheep." He said, "Bring him here." See, God saw something in David that no one else saw. And God saw something in David that David didn't even see. Can I tell you something this morning? You old northeastern Ohioans. Come on, you Lorainites, Amherstites, Elyriites, where are you from? Let me tell you something. Everybody may not have seen what God has seen about you. You may not have even yet discovered it, but I want you to know that the adversity, the trial, the trouble that you've been facing has only going to be used by God for you and I to be on a self-discovery of greatness, because God has a plan for us that we're going to rule and reign with Him. And I believe there's a turnaround on the way. I believe that Lorain, Ohio, northeastern Ohio, this whole entire region is about to emerge in greatness, and the power of God is going to be manifested throughout this place. Oh, yes, it is. Greatness must discover itself. How do we know that? Because you see, David, even though there was a promise given to him, an anointing that was laid on him by Samuel, went back to the sheep. And a lot of times, you and I have gotten words from the Lord. We've gotten an excitement from God. We've got an anointing that has changed our life. And then we go back to life as usual. Just watching the old sheep. Doing what we've been doing, and nothing really has changed. But see, God decided that what He wanted to do is He wanted David to have a self-discovery of his greatness. David had to know that he was great before he could fulfill his destiny. He had to be persuaded that there was something in him that was greater than that which was happening to him. So he sent a bear one day, just a little old bear. I don't know if you've ever seen a grizzly. They could be pretty intimidating if you ever find one in the wilderness. I don't know, lay down and play dead. I don't know if that's smart. I just run. I mean, look, they're pretty intimidating. But the next time a bear shows up, maybe God is using the moment to prepare you for a greater moment. Maybe the bear is so that you can discover that you've got something in you that can defeat that which you thought could never be defeated. Well, the lion shows up one day as well. And David gave testimony. You remember the Valley of Elah? He's about ready to fight Goliath. He's thinking now, you know what? I'm so great, I could defeat anything. And that's really the mentality that we're going to have to assume before Christ comes again. Jesus is not coming back for less than what He left. He is coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot and without wrinkle. He's coming back for a church that's full of miracles and wonders and signs and power and authority. We're not going to be intimidated by the sentiments of the majority. It doesn't matter, because if I know that God is for me, who can be against me? You see, greatness is coming to your life. Greatness is about to play at a theater near you. Greatness is about to overtake pulpits and churches. Greatness is about to sweep over congregations and regions where everybody else has written them off and forsaken them. God said, I'm not done yet. And David, standing in the Valley of Elah, told Saul, the king, I have killed the lion and I have killed the bear. In other words, because of my adversities in life and the way God brought me through those times of trouble, I know that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever think or ask. And I don't know about this uncircumcised Philistine. He don't look so bad to me. Not when I took a lion with my own bare hands and the Spirit of God came on me. Not when I took a bear and ripped it apart. See, the trouble you're facing, the trial you're in, is an opportunity for you and me to discover the greatness God has deposited. David didn't know he was a champion. Until the lion showed up. I mean, look around this morning. We're still here. Oh, yeah, we are. We're more than still here. We're making a mark that cannot be erased. We're declaring the kingdom of God every day, every Monday through Sunday. We're declaring the power of a living God. We're worshiping together corporately. We're believing God. We are manifesting the kingdom. People are being healed, saved, delivered, set free right here, right in this place where others may have said, it's over. But they don't understand where I'm sitting. You have to remember where you're sitting. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If you're seated in heavenly places with Christ, then every spiritual blessing that's in the heavenlies also has access to your life. And you have access to it. It's a matter of a mentality. You see, here's been the problem in Lorain, Ohio. Here's been the problem in Northeastern Ohio. We have not had a mentality of winners. We've not had a mentality of greatness. We've been told by everybody else what we are and what we ought to be and what will ever be. But God has usurped everybody's testimony and prophecy about who we are. And God's saying, no, there's something in you that's greater than what everybody else has limited you to. See, you and I have got to change our thinking about who we are in Christ. Say with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the next time a bear shows up, realize that God is using the moment to prepare you for a greater moment. That's why the word tells us all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I may be going through a real dark time right now, but it's all right. I know there's a cause that's greater than my experience. I'm committed to something that's bigger than to what's happening to me. I know that my God is faithful. And I know that in the right time, at the right moment, God is going to show up. And it doesn't matter what He has to use to get it to me. I'm going to have all my needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Shout with me, I'm a champion. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible simply says this. Little children, you are of God. You belong to Him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Sometimes when I talk about the end times, people will say to me, oh, Pastor, you're kind of shaking me in my boots here. You know, you're talking about the Antichrist and Peter of Romano, you know, the next pope and how he's going to defect and how he's going to be aligned with the Antichrist and how prophecies are saying this and that and how our president is saying there's many ways to heaven and how about the world, one economy. And we start hearing all that stuff and we think, oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, glory to God, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look up for my redemption draweth nigh. I know that God has a plan for our life. We can't focus on what they're doing. We got to focus on what He's doing. Because the Bible said that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. You see, I believe that no matter how you grow up, a slave or free, rich or poor, male or female, matters not. The color of your skin, how much money you have in the bank. You see, there's an emerging greatness that will surpass every societal limitation, every limitation put upon us by culture, every limitation that even the church in its tradition and religiosity has drawn lines and fences that say we can't go beyond that. God is about to bust down walls and fences and take us into dimensions and realms that we have never thought possible. Now, let me tell you about a man by the name of Nehemiah. Have you ever heard of him? Nehemiah's got a book in the Old Testament. It concerns how he was serving in the Persian king's court. He was a cupbearer. They call him a eunuch. He was a slave, although he was in the presence of the king. The Bible tells us that Nehemiah, being a slave, served the king his drink. Now, a cupbearer was one that had to drink that first before the king would sup to make sure that it wasn't poison. The way the king knew that it was good to drink is that the cupbearer was still standing. How many would like that job? And one day, Nehemiah tells us in chapter 1, had asked and inquired about how things were going in Jerusalem. You see, now the Jew was free to go back and rebuild after their captivity. Some had gone back, began the arduous work of trying to put the pieces back together again. Well, the report came back to Nehemiah that things weren't going that well. He began to talk about how the homes were still in rambles and how the walls were laying in heaps, stone upon stone, burnt, and the gates gone. It so moved Nehemiah that he began to weep, and he began to fast, and he began to pray. And he said, God, somehow this isn't right. Something began to stir in Nehemiah, even though he had no power to reproduce naturally. Even though he had no authority to dictate naturally. Even though he had no freedom to move as the Spirit would lead. Something stirred inside of him. And I want to encourage you today, because some of us have thought, based on where we've come from or where we're presently at in life, that our circumstances are so great that they are superseding anything we'd ever do for God. And that is not true. There's something in you that is greater than that which is happening around you. But notice what the devil did to Nehemiah. The devil made Nehemiah a slave. A slave. Interestingly, God put greatness in Nehemiah. Satan put slavery on Nehemiah. I don't know what the devil has put on you, but I know what God's put in you. And many times what's on us has become the predominant factor that has limited what God has put in us. God, though, used what was put on Nehemiah to awaken that which he had put in him. Did you hear me? See, some of us are going to have to reach a point where we say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We're not living like this anymore. I'm tired of putting on a show. I'm tired of having an okay marriage when I know our marriage isn't good enough. I'm tired of not being a worshiper. I'm tired of not believing God in His Word. You know what? I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being without joy. You know what? It's time for us to go ahead and throw off what's been placed upon us. Some of us have got to get a godly discontentment. We've got to begin to get dissatisfied with where we are and have a resolve. Stir ourselves up and say, you know what? I'm not living another day defeated. I'm not living another day depressed. I'm not living another day under when I'm supposed to be over. I'm not living another day as a tail. I'm tired of being a tail. I don't know about you. I don't like being a tail because stuff comes out by the tail that I don't want to smell anymore. I'd rather be the head. It's time for you and me to get a discontentment about where we have been and how we have lived our lives. God's about to break up your routine. God's about to invest in you something that you never thought possible. Just like Nehemiah every day, getting the cup, shining it up, filling it up, handing it to the king, backing up, being just the slave, the good person that he was, knowing that he had no power, no authority, no ability to change his future or even his present. And God came and visited him someday, one day, and it changed his life forever. John chapter 4 and verse 4 basically says this: greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That word greater is an interesting word. It's the Greek word mega. And the Greek word mega means super large, or nothing can compare in its presentation. So when we understand that scripture, it's sort of like, doesn't matter whatever the devil throws at you, God's got something bigger than that. That's really what it's saying. And we get the word mega, we take the word mega, the Greek word, and we use that in English to describe something that amplifies voice. I have one over here. It's called a megaphone. Have you ever heard of a megaphone? Thank you. A megaphone is to take that which is not so great and make it greater. God said, mega, mega is that which is in you than that which is in the world. In other words, when you're trying to get your point across and you're in a heated debate with somebody, I've got to turn up the volume. And what I'll often do is I'll say, I don't care what you said. I told you. And they're backing me. I don't want to listen to you. I said, you're going to listen to me because I'm the Father and I'm the dad and I can yell louder than you. That's what greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world does. When the devil says you will not, God said, yes, you will. When the devil said you're going to die, God said, no, you're going to live. How many know that God wins every argument according to his word? It doesn't matter. I just want you to shout with me, greater.
Greater.
Shout, mega.
Mega.
Is he that is in me than he that is in the world? In other words, the voice in you is bigger than the voice outside of you. And you and I have to begin listening to the right voice. I'm telling you, church, we're only moments away. Moments from the greatest awakening in the history of mankind. We are just seconds away from the greatest revival on the earth that mankind has ever witnessed. We are but just moments away from people being swept into the kingdom of God in record numbers, churches unable to hold all the people and process all the salvations. There are miracles, signs, and wonders that are erupting on the earth. And I'm telling you, revival is coming near you and me. God is going to move greatly in this hour because he's a big, big God. We used to sing a song, God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still alive. Oh, God's not dead. He's still alive. How's the rest go? I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. Sadly, the church's been singing, I think, but God's dead. Oh, I think my God's dead. I think my God's dead. I think my God's dead. Got no money. Got no joy. Church is a bore to me. Hey, I think it's time we get up on our feet right now and give God the biggest shout that we can give and glorify the Lord. Come on, church. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, do it again. But this time I want you to say, he is alive. Come on, say it. 1, 2, 3. He is alive. Now clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the God in the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Woo. Now I'm starting to feel something in this place. I'm starting to feel like God just might be greater. Oh, glory to God. Give somebody a high five. Say, God's greater. You can be seated. Listen to me, church. God is greater. As light is greater than darkness, God is greater than any difficulty you'll ever face. As truth is greater than falsehood, God is greater than any problem that's attacked you. As a king is greater than its subjects, so is God greater than any adversity you'll ever face. And as a creator is greater than that which he created, so is God greater than any circumstance that you're facing right now. I think you and I ought to thank him for that. God, that you are greater than anything I'll ever face, any problem that I'll ever have to deal with. Lord, I know right now I'm on my way through. I know right now the adversity and the trial that I'm facing is nothing but the lion and the bear that you will use to help me discover the greater power in me and also the champion that you have made me to be. You see, something's happening in this region. And even though the devil would like to ha 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 me, I don't really care whether it's $997 raised for the carpet. And the devil said, those people don't want no carpet. No matter how the devil tries to mock you, how he tries to bring evidence, he is nothing but a growling bear and a howling lion that I don't even know that I can defeat yet. I'm about to know. Some of you have gone through the most difficult time in your life in the last 6 months, the last few years. You're thinking, God, when is this going to end? Just when you think it's going to end, shazam, it hits you again. Come on now. And it's one thing after another. Can anybody say, I know what you're talking about? I mean, yeah, but that's all right, because you see, there is something on the other side of this trouble. It's called a throne. It's called a kingdom. It's called that God has brought into your life a champion mentality. And you and I are about to become the victors. Boy, you're attractive this morning. I tell you what, I go to church with some good looking people. I'm telling you, you girls ought to all be models. You boys, I don't know what you ought to be, but you ought to be something. Y'all look good this morning. Look at somebody and say, you look good this morning. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, Nehemiah said, and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You see, you and I need to remind ourselves of whose presence we're really in. I'm not in the presence of lack. I'm not in the presence of disease. I'm not in the presence of marital struggle and strife. No, no, no. I'm in the presence of a king. I'm in the presence of a living God. And that's where I'll take my place and know that God is about to give me a word. And God is about to put something in me And what happened to Nehemiah that God had to use was this circumstance. And all of his natural limitations supersede every one of them and brought him into Jerusalem. And there he was, the catalyst that brought revival to a nation and built the walls in 52 days because he knew that there was something in him that was mega to what was being told to him. Something started talking inside of Nehemiah. Is there not a cause? See, your struggle is proof that you've not yet been conquered by your enemy. Champions always use the inner voice against pressure. Champions always have to listen to the inner voice against pressure. Because the picture, hear this, the picture that stays in your mind will always happen in time. The picture that stays in your mind will happen in time. David saw Goliath defeated. And it was only a matter of time before what he saw in his mind, everybody else beheld. Now I could preach right there. You see, I could begin to preach. I see something in my mind. Oh, I see a church of thousands of people flocking to the house of the Lord. I see a generation that is on fire for God. I see wheelchairs empty. I see crutches thrown away. I see walkers discarded. I see hospitals empty. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I got something in my mind this morning that if I'll keep my focus on it and not worry about whether or not I'm a slave in somebody's palace serving up juice or Kool-Aid, or whether or not I'm just a little shepherd boy on the side of some discarded hill with a few sheep, I got a vision in my mind. I have a vision in my spirit. I see something. I see people rising up to the occasion, and it's only a matter of time because the picture that stays in my mind will happen in time. You can't change the channel. You can't change the picture. You can't alter what I see. I don't care what you say. There's a voice inside of me, a mega voice inside of me that's bigger than the voice that's talking to me. Come on, church, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah one more time. Shout hallelujah. Woo! I believe it. I believe it. Because what I say, I will see. It is not about what I say, but what he's saying to me. And what God's saying to me is that he sees a kingdom that is going to be built. He sees a church that is going to rise up out of the ashes. He sees a people that are coming from the north, south, and the east, and the west. He sees little children who are going to operate in prophetic and going to operate in miracles. He sees a yellow. He sees a white. He sees a brown. He sees a black coming together and forming a body of Christ that cannot be denied. He sees wealth coming from the wicked. He sees all of everything the devil has stolen being restored. My God sees something that I've got to say. I've got to tell you today, we're about to become champions on the earth, champions as a church, champions as a people, because God is about to show up. Shout now, hallelujah! Woo! Now listen to me. When God spoke 2.5 years ago, he said, go out there in the east. I said, God, I don't want to go out there in the east. I got enough to do. We've tried to plant 3 churches in the east. And all 3 of them aren't functioning. For some reason, one reason or another. We sent staff out there. And God said to me, you go. I said, God, come on. You got to be kidding. This is my 13th time preaching in 14 days. It's just what I do. And when I thought I had enough, when I thought we couldn't do any more, and God said, you got an east and you've got a west. He said, but isn't there a south? And isn't there a north? I said, no, God, I'm in the north. He said, no, you're the west. I said, you mean Toronto? Now, see, some of you, I just blew your mind right there. There are no limits on what God wants to do through you, through this ministry, through our lives. We are about to open up branches. Hey, come on, if Burger King can do it, if Wendy's can do it, come on, come on, come on. If Olive Garden can do it, if Walmart can do it, come on, why can't a local church have 1,000 or more stores where we say, on sale today is salvation through Jesus Christ? Some of you better get ready. You didn't know you were about to pastor.
I'm just the least of all of the brethren.
You better get ready, because God's seeing something in you that you don't even see yourself. But the trouble you're going through is nothing more than a discovery of the greatness and the championship that God has already placed in you. Nobody looked at little LeBron at 5th grade or 6th grade as ever being a champion. But look at him now. There was something in his DNA. There was destiny written on his belly. There was something that God had placed inside of him that literally changed his entire future. I'm telling you today, we're the church. We're the blood bought. We are the ones filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And there shall be nothing too difficult for our God. We are about to go over and not under. And we are about to be above and not beneath. I'm telling you today, you better get ready. I said, get ready. I said, get ready. God is about to do something explosive in our lives. Don't you get comfortable. Don't you get complacent. Don't you become indifferent. And don't you grow weary and give up and throw away your confidence, because your confidence in God's word has great reward. Hallelujah. All right. That's it. So here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. First of all, I want you to give on your way out today to surpass the expectation of what is normal. We're nothing. There's nothing normal about us. I don't give a normal offering. I don't give a normal prayer or a normal shout. But you got to start thinking above normal. Yes, we do. Then I want you to ask God to go out and find you a bear this week. I want you to win one soul to Christ this week. I want you to stand in the face of a devil who says, not on my watch. And I want you to win that person to Jesus Christ under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask God to empower you to speak the right word, to lead you to the right person, not to be intimidated, and bring them to church next Sunday. I double dog dare you. How many are ready to become champions in the kingdom? Woo! I'm ready to become a champion in the kingdom of God. And we worship you in the Spirit. We worship you in the truth. I worship you. Come on, in the Spirit. That's what I'm going to do. In the midst of your tears, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your disappointment, you got to lift your hands up and you just got to say, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship you. Oh, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. Doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm going to worship you. Come on, somebody that needs to break through. Somebody that needs to get the victory. Somebody that needs to hear that mega voice of God up inside of you. Come on, shout, I worship you in the Spirit. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes, I do. I worship you in the truth. Oh, I worship you in the Spirit. That's what I long to do. Come on, Steve. Come on, as the Holy Ghost speaks to you, get on your feet. Reach up to God and say, God, I'm going to believe you at your word.
We worship you.
I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe.
That's what you're going to do.
Come on, believe. Come on, believe.
We worship you.
Come on, believe.
We worship you in the truth.
That the Lord is saying right now, there's a window of opportunity that's been discovered by your worship, and that it's raining mercy and grace in this room. The Bible teaches us that Jesus himself took all of the judgment that was due to us. And we believe that as his children, that all of the judgment for our sin came upon him at Calvary. Now I want you to understand something. If all of the judgment, all of the condemnation, all of the guilt, and all of the shame came upon Jesus at Calvary, then that means there is none left for you to live in. It's all been absorbed by Calvary. It's all been taken by the cross, by Jesus on the cross. That means, child of God, there's no more judgment left for you. There's only grace and there's only mercy. That means we live in a moment of time. Right now, I believe providentially in the Spirit, there is an open heaven over this place right here where we are today. I believe there is an opportunity if you're sick in your body. Right now, I believe God is healing you. I believe God is restoring families right now. If you'll just believe, if you'll just throw off condemnation, if you'll just accept it, if you'll just receive it, you can be healed. You can receive wholeness today. Our altar ministers are coming right now. And as they come, if you've been living with condemnation, if you've been living under a spirit of judgment, if you've been living a life that's beneath what Jesus paid, I want you to come. Because there's no more left but grace and mercy. Abundant grace and mercy is available in this place right here. And it's falling down like rain. So if you need prayer, why don't you come right now and receive prayer. If you don't know Jesus the way you felt him today, because he was present, if you don't know him, take a moment and ask him to forgive you. And then come up here and pray with one of these people. They're intercessors. They want to help you. They want to walk with you. Touch Jesus this morning. Don't forget on your way out to give. Thank you for your faithful giving. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Don't forget to come to church on Thursday night. If you need prayer, come now.